leader, survivor, winner, room for the throne, number one contender. Focused, determined, grateful, loyal, passionate, can't forget, faithful, confident, intelligent, savvy, when it comes to business and happy around family. Future mogul, global, icon, CEO of the future, lifelong. Took his first steps at the age of 8 months, anxious to make moves, young boss on the hunt. Age 3, moved from Baltimore to Texas. Could have died playing with some kids that were wrecked. Chased around the house, saying they would hit him. Tossed a knife towards him and it barely missed him. Miss Verna told him to walk with a purpose in life. And so she knew his purpose in life. Started kindergarten at the age of 4, and by this time he was back in Baltimore. Mike Jackson was his idol, Thriller was a classic. This is what influenced most of his musical passion, along with Purple Rain. Prince was a genius, the movie was the music, and that was just genius. This is a storyline without being altered, so you can get the chance to meet Michael Foster.
You can only influence somebody to the level that you've been, right? So I was different when I went to film school. I was already a grown adult. I was a 30-year-old adult, you know. I had been in college before. Like I said, I didn't finish that. But now I'm a grown man with the family. And so I'm coming in focused. I knew exactly what I was coming in for. I started writing creatively probably around 11 or 12, and I just knew I had a gift for that. In high school, I had a TV production class that I loved, and I was writing, directing, acting. We were actually doing skits and all of that, producing the morning show, and we would actually, you know, broadcast that across the whole school in the morning. And I knew it was something that I loved doing, but I had no idea that that's what I would be doing, like, you know, 20-something years later. I was focused on doing music. At that time, I was running track, so I thought I was gonna be in the Olympics. Michael Johnson was like, had just killed the Olympics in the 400. I used to run the 400 and the 800, and he had killed the Olympics, and so that was like the greatest thing to me. About 2004, that's when my first daughter was born, Ariana. And so I took some time away from the music because I was like trying to figure out, okay, now I gotta get my music career to the next level. And in doing that, I came up with the concept to do Swagger TV. I said, well, I'm gonna do a TV show that is going to promote me as an artist. And people were like, well, how are you going to do a TV show? You're a rapper. They didn't know that I had experienced TV production experience. So what I did was I started the TV show on Public Access, 21 Charlotte. It's crazy because it just kind of took on this life of its own. A Carl Pryor, I'll never forget it. He told me that he had a way to make it to where I could stream my show live to people in Africa. And I was just like, what? Mind you, I was just walking uptown and this random guy just walks up for me and tells me this. And so from there, you know, we linked up and he gave me the whole rundown. And we started, which was the first urban media network. Swagger TV.
All right, roll on whenever you're ready.
I wanted to have a TV show that I wanted to be able to put online. And at that time, just to give you some insight, this was before YouTube. So I had this idea to put this TV show online on my website, and nobody was even doing that at the time. And so I remember I went to my guy, and I told him that's what I wanted to do. He was like, well, how are we gonna do that? And I was like, I don't know. I remember leaving, And I remember when I came back, however long it was, when I came back, he figured out a way to put that TV show on the website, online.
What it is, bro, it's your boy Rashad, SwaggyTV.com, Tuesday Night Scandal Lows, and I'm here with my man,
Tyler Craig.
Tyler Craig, and he about to get it popped, man. What's going on for the night with you?
I'm a headliner for the show, I'm behind the comedy show, so you know what I'm saying, after the night, I don't know what'll be happening, but good to be on Swagger TV.
So now we transitioned from a TV show to like an official online urban media network. And we were streaming, you know, we had a comedy show, Tone X and Friends, you know, and we were, you know, Tone and Yolanda, Y Square Management, Chris Funny Man Robinson, we put on a comedy show that was legit the shit. We're actually streaming it live, so we had people logging on from all over the world watching what we were doing every single week. And you know, looking at the analytics and everything, I'm looking, it's people from Estonia, it's people from Africa, it's people from everywhere logging on watching this. And so that was how I started getting used to the global mindset, because I literally had people that were logging on watching what we were doing.
I don't know what size the ding-a-ling is. Because you know, some of you fellas, y'all ain't made right. Some of y'all ain't, y'all look grown, but you ain't grown. Some of you like Pokemon.
When artists would come through Charlotte, we would interview them.
What's good? What it do? You already know what it is. Lifelong Swagger TV, and we in the building, the very best. You already see who I got with me, the homie Lupe Fiasco.
From Rick Ross to Wale, Toya Luckett, I wanted more content. So it took me away from to where I was producing content. Now I was focusing on just more of the platform. I went to the Art Institute of Charlotte, and I went to the film department. And the gentleman I spoke with was Mr. Charles Easley. So I went and spoke to him about what my vision was, and I wanted to go to filmmakers and have them put their content on our platform. Now, like I said, this was over 10 years ago, so they were like, what do you want us to put, give you our content to put on your website? We don't understand. I'm going to different filmmakers with concepts that I have, and they wasn't biting. And so I said, you know what? I'm gonna go to film school, learn how to create a film from start to finish, from writing a script to casting to everything. A lot of my classmates were younger. So, you know, I've been there when you know you're in college and you're young and you might be still trying to figure out who you are and what you want to do with your life. So I had the advantage because I had already been through that stage in my life. And so when I got to film school, I knew exactly what I was there for. I learned all the intricacies as far as how to make a film. It helped that I did have production experience from a TV standpoint. So I wasn't coming into it like totally blind, but there were definitely concepts that I had no idea of. The first professor that really showed an interest in my career and in my talent was Professor Keith Thomas, and I'll never forget that. I would be in class and then class would dismiss, and he stayed there after class to talk to me and to show me how to structure what I was trying to structure, a story, beginning, middle, end. He would tell us, man, you know, you can get a story from anywhere. From the news, you can get stories from anywhere. I'm always grateful And he always tells me to shout him out whenever I win my first Oscar. It's crazy.
You ever seen a woman make time stand still? Everything slow motion as she's dressing them heels. Center of attention, all the fellas jockeying. So gorgeous, even straight women watching. Skin glow like the last dragon.
Working on my very first film in film school, it was Evelyn Black. And I remember writing the concept. I wanted to just make something dope and I wanted to make something different. And so this was my opportunity. You know, it was a class project. It was like a 5-page script that we had to write. And so I wrote the script, you know, we got the crew and everything together. We shot it and it ended up turning out, I thought it was good, but you never know really how good certain things are. It was my first film, so I wasn't sure. So from there, I remember shooting that. And then that was like August 2012. And then started creating a little buzz around the school. And people were like letting me know like they liked it. And I was like, okay. So I was like, I think I might got something here. I was looking at their reactions. And then my first film festival with that film was the Charlotte Black Film Festival. The world premiere of my first film was here in Charlotte and right here in my backyard. So that was very special for me. And we got nominated for like best short. Didn't win, but it let me know that I was on the right path. So from there, I remember getting somebody reached out to me one day and they wanted to screen the film in Montreal. And I was just like, wow. So I started doing the research on this festival. It was a Montreal International Black Film Festival. And, you know, I sent them the film and everything, and they loved it.
My name is Joyce Ferza, and I'm the programming coordinator of the Montreal International Black Film Festival. I have to tell you that Evelyn Black, I watched it twice, actually, the film, before I programmed it. I found the story amazing, original. I found the story very unpredictable, which made it great for the festival, really. The screening went well, amazing. The audience was happy. We even had a Q&A with the director, Michael Foster, and the movie was very well received.
That was such an experience for me because now I'm like, wow. Like the Montreal International Black Film Festival is huge in Canada. Like, let me explain. They do the Montreal International Black Film Festival and they do the Toronto Black Film Festival. And so I go there and I'm surrounded by all of these filmmakers from all over the world, from South Africa, Paris, LA, New York, everywhere. Just the whole experience in itself. I remember like the premiere, like they had like, it was a driver came to pick me up from the hotel to take me to the premiere and everything. It was a red carpet and I'm just like, man, like I done made it. Like I'm in another country and my film is premiering, my very first film that I've ever made, and I'm sitting up here in another country premiering it. And so I premiered it and it got a great, great reception. And I'm sitting there though, and I'm watching some of these other films. And I'm like, man, like my film is all right, but these other films are just great. I was like, man. So early on, like for me, the bar was raised. Like the bar for me was high because I was like, okay, I'm here and obviously I'm good enough to be here, but these other films, I'm like, well, I got a ways to go. So I was never in a position where I was like content just with what I had done. I saw what I needed to be shooting for. That was my first time really out of the country, like outside of, I had done cruises with the family before, but this was my first time out of the country, you know, and I'm an adult and my first time I had to get a passport and everything. So it was the whole thing. I didn't have the money to even make the trip. My parents, they paid for my trip, the flight and the hotel and everything. They've always been supportive of everything that I've been doing creatively. So that meant a lot to me. And that trip to Montreal just affected me in so many ways, not even just on the film aspect, but even to go there, like in Montreal, they speak French. Well, French is their first language. But then I remember being there, you know, I knew bonjour. So I would say bonjour, and they was like, oh, bonjour. And then they would continue to talk in French. I had no idea what they was talking about. And they was like, oh, you speak English. So to watch them go from speaking fluent French and they can just, at the drop of a dime, just start talking English to you, that shit blew me away. One of the things that I know that I had to deal with in that whole process of coming through was I started seeing that I was doing things that I was honestly doing things that my professors hadn't even done. Montreal was September 2013. I think the very next month I was in Atlanta for the Bronze Lens Film Festival. And man, I remember I didn't even think I was going to be able to go just because of financial reasons. You know, you're talking about traveling and going to festivals. That's the thing with film festivals. You have to be in a position to be able to go, you know. I would get compared to Tyler Perry a lot when I first started, and I didn't really kind of understand why that comparison was being made. And then I was like, wow. At that point, I was like, I don't mind being compared to Tyler Perry, because my respect level just really shot through the roof, because I was like, man, this dude work ethic is crazy. And I understand, when you understand the business and understand that he had a whole vision. So for those that don't know, when you have 100 episodes of TV show, that's when you can go into syndication. So Tyler Perry had his own studio, so he was shooting his movies and then shooting his TV shows at night on his own studios. He knew going into shooting his TV shows that he was, once he got to 100, he could put them into syndication. So man, that was just like genius to me, right? So I'm like, this dude is like, his work ethic is crazy. He was living in his car, he was homeless, and he had like a bag of cookies. That's all he had to eat, man. So you mean to tell me this guy went from having a bag of cookies to eat, and he started doing plays, and nobody was showing up to the plays in the beginning, but he kept doing them, and then that caught on, and then that parlayed into the Tyler Perry that we know today, where he has his own studios, to where he's employing so many different people, and people of color, but so many different people. Man, like, that's crazy. So, you know, when people talk to me about Tyler Perry and, you know, his movies and how they feel about his movies and everything like that, I'm like, it's cool. But I'm looking at it like, the guy's a genius. He's an inspiration. And let's leave it at that. Like, I would love, you know what I'm saying, to be in a situation just to be it, which I know is about to happen, to be able to pick his brain and just soak up whatever knowledge I can, man, because that shit is not easy. And I remember after the panel, one of the other filmmakers was like, yo, what you about to do? And I was like, about to go over to the luncheon. And he was like, nah, man, you know, you need a wristband for that. And I'm like, oh, you mean this wristband? He's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. So now I'm thinking, okay, well, everybody's not going to this. Man, so I go into the luncheon, and there's like some of the most prominent black directors and producers in Hollywood in this luncheon. I'm sitting across the table from David E. Talbert and his wife, and you know, he did a Baggage Claim, First Sunday with Ice Cube. He's working on I think Jingle Jangle now for Netflix. It's a musical he's doing for Netflix. So I'm sitting across the table from him. The VP of programming is right beside me from BET. Connie Orlando, like, I'm sitting in a room with all these people. Now, mind you, this is my very first film. So I'm sitting in here, and I'm dressed apart. So I'm looking at them like starstruck. And I'm thinking that they might be looking at me like, who is this guy? What, you know, but in hindsight, it's like, Nah, if you're in this room, you're supposed to be in this room. And I'll never forget one of the guys I was sitting beside. He saw it. We were just talking. And he saw it in my face. And he was like, hey, man, work this room. Like, work this room. And I snapped out of it. And then from there, I was like, I'm supposed to be here because I'm here. They saw my film and decided that I needed to be in this room with these people. And so I think back to stuff like that.